A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's been doing DIY around his apartment and keeps hitting the same friction point. You're standing there with a shelf. You've measured twice, and now you're staring at the wall trying to figure out if you need a plastic plug or a metal sleeve, whether your drill bit is even the right diameter, and if the thing's going to hold or rip out in a week. In Israeli apartments, you're almost always dealing with one of two extremes: soft, hollow drywall, or reinforced concrete that laughs at cheap anchors. There's no middle ground. Daniel's question is, if you were planning a trip to the hardware store with the explicit goal of building an anchor supply box, what do you stock, what sizes, what bits, and what's the mental model that pairs them together so you never have to Google it again?
This is one of those things where the knowledge exists, but it's scattered across 15 different YouTube videos, the back of the anchor box in 6-point font, and a guy at the hardware store who may or may not have installed anything heavier than a picture frame. What Daniel's really asking for is a system, not a better anchor, a pre-assembled decision tree that lives in a box and covers 90% of residential jobs.
The anchor go bag, which, I'll admit, sounds like something you'd pack for a very boring apocalypse. But the logic holds. The bottleneck isn't the anchor technology, it's the mini decision tree you have to run from scratch every single time. Wall type, anchor type, drill bit size, screw gauge, depth. Doing that tree cold on a Sunday afternoon when you just want to hang a curtain rod is what makes it feel harder than it should.
And the thing is, wall anchors are genuinely a solved problem. The physics is straightforward, the materials are well understood, the failure modes are predictable. What's not solved is the fragmentation, the fact that you have to reassemble the knowledge every time because nobody's packaged it as a single coherent workflow for the specific wall types you actually encounter here.
Let's break down why this simple task feels so complicated, and why the solution isn't a better anchor, but a better system.
The first step in that system is understanding what you're drilling into. In Israeli apartments, there are really only two wall types you need to worry about, and one of them will destroy your cheap anchors.
The way you tell them apart is absurdly simple. You knock on the wall with your knuckle. If it sounds hollow, like knocking on a wooden crate, you've got drywall. If it sounds like you're rapping your knuckles on a sidewalk, you've got concrete. That's the tap test. It takes 2 seconds, and it's more reliable than any stud finder I've ever used.
The edge cases are where it gets interesting, though. Tiles over concrete, the tap test still works, you just hear a slightly duller thud. Plasterboard over brick, that one's trickier, it sounds like a mid-range thunk that's neither fully hollow nor fully solid. And then there's the cursed category, which Daniel might encounter depending on when his building went up, lightweight concrete blocks. Tong, Ciprex, the aerated stuff that's become common in newer Israeli construction. Those sound like something between drywall and concrete, and they behave like neither.
I've seen people put a standard nylon plug into an aerated block, and the thing just spins. You drill the hole, you tap the plug in, you start screwing, and the whole plug rotates in place like a lazy Susan.
Because the block is essentially a foam, it's concrete with millions of tiny air pockets. A standard expansion plug relies on friction against a solid surface. In aerated block, the plug just crushes the surrounding material into powder. You need a completely different anchor strategy there, which we'll get to. But let's start with the two main categories, because they cover the vast majority of what people actually drill into.
Israeli drywall is typically 12.5 millimeters thick, sometimes double-layered in newer builds. The critical thing to understand about drywall is that it's basically compressed gypsum sandwiched between two layers of paper. The paper facing is what gives it tensile strength. And here's the failure pattern that catches everyone. Plastic expansion anchors in drywall work by expanding against the gypsum core, but the actual load is transferred to the paper facing. Over time, the paper tears. The anchor pulls out clean, leaving a perfect little crater. I've seen shelves come down this way. One bracket holds, the other doesn't, and you get a slow-motion disaster.
The Home Depot guide on this is pretty clear. Plastic expansion anchors in half-inch drywall, max out around 20 pounds. That's a medium-sized picture frame. Anything heavier, a shelf with books, a TV mount, a curtain rod that someone's going to yank on, you need a different mechanism entirely. The two anchors worth stocking for drywall are self-drilling toggle bolts and molly bolts.
Toggle bolts are the heavy lifters. The mechanism is elegant. A spring-loaded wing folds flat against the bolt. You push it through a hole in the drywall. The wings spring open behind the wall, and then you tighten the bolt, which pulls the wings flush against the back surface. The load is distributed across a much larger area than a plastic plug. In half-inch drywall, a toggle bolt holds 50 pounds or more. For a TV mount, you'd use four of them, and that TV isn't going anywhere.
The self-drilling version eliminates a step. Traditional toggle bolts require you to pre-drill a hole large enough to pass the folded wings through. Self-drilling toggle bolts have a drill tip built into the bolt itself. You just drive it straight into the drywall with the drill, the tip bores through, the wings deploy, and you tighten, one step instead of three. They cost a bit more, but the time savings per anchor is real.
Molly bolts are the medium-duty option. The mechanism is different. Instead of spring-loaded wings, a molly bolt has a sleeve that crushes and expands behind the drywall as you tighten the screw. It forms a sort of metal collar that grips the back surface. They're great for shelves, curtain rods, anything in the 30 to 50 pound range. One caveat, they work best in single-layer drywall. In double-layer, the sleeve doesn't always clear the second layer properly, and you can end up with an anchor that's expanded inside the drywall sandwich rather than behind it.
Which is a failure you won't detect until the load goes on and the whole thing pulls out. So the drywall decision tree is, tap test says hollow, figure out the load. Under 20 pounds and purely decorative, you can get away with a plastic plug, but honestly, I'd skip them entirely. Just use molly bolts for everything medium and toggle bolts for everything heavy. The cost difference is negligible compared to patching a hole in drywall.
This is the other extreme, and it's what most Israeli apartment walls are made of. Reinforced concrete, often with rebar every 15 to 20 centimeters, an aggregate that'll eat a standard masonry bit for breakfast. The workhorse anchor here is the nylon wall plug, also called a raw plug, and the entire game is about matching three numbers, plug diameter, drill bit diameter, and screw gauge.
This is where most people get it wrong. They grab an 8mm plug, drill an 8mm hole, so far so good. And then they use whatever screw was rolling around in the drawer, usually too thin. The plug goes in, the screw goes in, and nothing expands. The plug just sits there passively while the screw turns inside it. The rule is, screw diameter should match the plug's expanded inner diameter. For a 6mm plug, that's typically a 4.5mm screw. For an 8mm plug, a 5mm screw. For a 10mm plug, a 6mm screw.
The drill bit matching is actually simpler than people think. For nylon plugs and concrete, the drill bit should be exactly the plug diameter. A 6mm plug needs a 6mm masonry bit. Not 5.5, not 6.5. The plug needs to be a snug fit. You should have to tap it in with a hammer, not push it in with your thumb. If it slides in easily, the hole is too big and the plug won't grip when it expands.
There's a specific failure pattern here that's worth understanding. When you drill into concrete, the bit creates a slightly irregular hole. It's not a perfect cylinder. The nylon plug deforms to fill those irregularities when the screw expands it. If the hole is oversized, the plug can't deform enough to make contact with the walls, and you get what's called a spinning anchor. The screw turns, the plug turns with it, nothing tightens. The only fix is to pull everything out, fill the hole with epoxy or a larger plug, and start over.
Which is exactly the kind of thing that turns a 20-minute shelf installation into a 2-hour ordeal involving a trip back to the hardware store. So the concrete decision tree is, tap test says solid, determine the load. 6mm plugs for light stuff. Picture frames, small mirrors. 8mm for medium. Shelves, curtain rods, bathroom accessories. 10mm for heavy. TV mounts, cabinets, anything that needs to support a person leaning on it.
Let me give you a concrete example, so to speak. Hanging a 50-inch TV on a concrete wall in a Tel Aviv apartment. The right approach, 8mm nylon plugs, 5mm screws, an 8mm masonry bit, and you drill about 45mm deep for a 40mm plug. That extra 5mm is critical. It's space for the concrete dust to settle so the plug seats fully. The wrong approach, using the plastic anchors that came in the TV mount kit. Those are usually sized for American drywall and are both too small and the wrong type for Israeli concrete. They'll either spin on insertion or shear off under load.
Depth control is the single most overlooked variable in this whole process. For concrete, you want the hole 5 to 10 millimeters deeper than the plug length. That dust pocket at the bottom isn't optional. If you don't have it, the plug bottoms out on debris before it's fully seated, and you end up with a plug that's proud of the surface by a millimeter or two. That means the screw head doesn't sit flush, which means whatever you're mounting doesn't sit flush, which means you've just created a wobble that'll drive you insane every time you walk past it.
For drywall, the depth requirement is the opposite. You want the anchor flush with the surface, not recessed, not proud. Over-drilling into drywall destroys the paper facing around the hole, which is exactly the part that provides tensile strength. A simple trick that works for both wall types, wrap a piece of tape around the drill bit at the required depth. When the tape touches the wall surface, stop drilling. It's a visual stop that costs nothing and eliminates the guesswork.
I've seen people use a permanent marker to draw a line on the bit, which works until the bit heats up and the mark rubs off. Tape is better. It's also a good way to use up that roll of masking tape that's been sitting in the drawer for 3 years.
Now you know the theory, the wall types, the anchor mechanisms, the drill bit matching. But knowing isn't doing. Let's talk about what you actually buy and how you organize it so you never have to think about this again.
This is the Anchor Go Bag, or Go Box really. The idea is a single parts organizer that lives in your tool cabinet or under the sink, and when you need to hang something, you open it and everything you need is in labeled compartments. No digging through a coffee can of random screws, no finding 3 8mm plugs and a single 6mm bit that's dull.
The shopping list. You want a small parts organizer box, something like the Stanley 014725 or any 24 compartment box from Ace or Home Center. That'll run you about 50 to 80 shekels. Then you stock it with the following compartments. Compartment 1, 26mm nylon plugs. Compartment 2, 28mm nylon plugs. Compartment 3, 10 10mm nylon plugs. You use fewer of the big ones. Compartment 4, 10 self-drilling toggle bolts, 1/8 inch size. Compartment 5, 10 self-drilling toggle bolts, 1/4 inch size. Compartment 6, 10 molly bolts for drywall.
Then the screws. This is where the pre-made anchor kits fail. They include screws that are almost always too short or too thin. Buy screws separately, matched to the plug. Compartment 7, 4.5mm by 50mm screws for the 6mm plugs. Compartment 8, 5mm by 60mm screws for the 8mm plugs. Compartment 9, 6mm by 70mm screws for the 10mm plugs.
The screw length rule is worth memorizing. The screw should be 10 to 15mm longer than the plug, plus the thickness of whatever you're mounting. So a 40mm plug mounting a 15mm shelf bracket needs a 55 to 60mm screw. If the screw is too short, it doesn't reach deep enough into the plug to trigger full expansion. If it's too long, it bottoms out in the hole before the bracket is tight.
Which produces the classic, why is this still loose? Frustration, where you keep turning the screwdriver and nothing changes. The screw has hit the bottom of the hole and is just spinning the plug.
Compartment 10, masonry drill bits, 6mm, 8mm, and 10mm. Buy individual bits, not a set. The sets that cost 50 shekels for 10 bits always skip the exact sizes you need. You'll get a 5, a 7, a 9, and a 12, and none of them match your plugs. Individual bits are 10 to 20 shekels each. Buy two of each if you drill a lot, because masonry bits dull on concrete and a dull bit wanders, producing an oversized hole.
Compartment 11, drywall bits. 1/8 inch and 1/4 inch for the toggle bolts. Compartment 12, a depth gauge, or just keep a roll of tape in the box for marking depth. And if you want to get fancy, throw in a countersink bit for those times when you want the screw head to sit below the surface.
The total cost for this box is about 150 to 200 shekels, roughly 40 to 50 US dollars. That's less than the cost of one failed TV mount installation that damages the wall and requires a plasterer. The time saved per job is about 10 minutes of Googling and second guessing. After 10 jobs, the box has paid for itself in time alone.
The mental model that goes with it is absurdly simple once you have the box. Step 1. Tap the wall. Hollow means grab toggle or molly. Solid means grab nylon plug. Step 2. Match the plug size to the load. 6mm for light, 8 for medium, 10 for heavy. Step 3. Grab the corresponding drill bit and screw from the same compartment. That's why you organize by pairing, not by type. Step 4. Wrap tape on the bit at depth. Drill, insert anchor, screw in. Total time, 2 minutes. The decision tree collapses into muscle memory.
There's a philosophy here that I think applies to a lot of DIY. The goal isn't to become an expert in wall anchor taxonomy. It's to make the process so automatic that you stop thinking about the anchor and start thinking about the thing you're actually building. The anchor is infrastructure. It should be boring and reliable.
Which brings us to the edge cases that break the system. Because there's always one wall in every apartment that doesn't play by the rules.
If you're drilling into a bathroom or kitchen wall, you're almost certainly going through tile into concrete. The mistake everyone makes is using a masonry bit on the tile. Masonry bits have a carbide tip designed to pulverize concrete through a hammering action. On tile, that same hammering action creates microfractures that propagate into visible cracks. You need a spear-tipped carbide tile bit. It looks like a little arrowhead to get through the glaze and the tile body without cracking. Drill through the tile layer first with no hammer action, then switch to the masonry bit for the concrete behind.
You need the tile bit in the same diameters as your masonry bits, 6 and 8 millimeters. Because you're drilling the same hole twice, once through tile, once through concrete. If the tile bit is wider than the masonry bit, you've just created a loose fit. If it's narrower, the masonry bit will chip the edges of the tile hole as it passes through.
The second edge case is lightweight concrete blocks. Itong, Ciprex, the aerated stuff. These are increasingly common in Israeli buildings constructed in the last 15 years, especially for interior partition walls. Standard nylon plugs are useless in these blocks because the material is too soft to generate expansion friction. The plug just spins or pulls out. You need specialized hollow block anchors, sometimes called butterfly anchors or spring toggles for blocks, that expand behind the surface rather than within it.
I've got a case study for this one. Listener in a 2020 build Ramat Gan apartment, lightweight concrete blocks throughout. They use standard 8mm nylon plugs for a curtain rod. The plugs spun on insertion. They managed to get them seated, hung the rod, and a week later the whole thing came down. The fix was hollow block anchors that deploy wings behind the block face. The rod's been up for 2 years since.
The tap test for these blocks is deceptive. They don't sound fully hollow like drywall, and they don't sound fully solid like concrete. It's a mid-range thunk. If you're unsure, drill a small test hole in an inconspicuous spot. If the drill goes through like butter and the dust is fine and white rather than gray and gritty, you've got aerated block.
The third edge case is hidden pipes and wires. Israeli construction is not exactly famous for following electrical and plumbing plans to the millimeter. A stud finder with wire detection is worth having, but honestly, some walls are just unknowable. If you're drilling into a wall that might have a water pipe behind it, common in kitchens and bathrooms, drill shallow and use a shorter plug. Better to have a slightly weaker anchor than a flooded apartment.
The clinical approach here, treat every wall as a patient with an unknown medical history. You don't start cutting before you've done a basic examination. Tap test. Visual inspection for electrical outlets that might indicate wire runs, and if you're near a wet wall, assume there's a pipe until proven otherwise.
Which is a very Herman way to put it. But the principle holds. The system works for 90% of jobs. The edge cases are real, but they're also predictable once you know what to look for.
Let me give you 4 things you can do this weekend that will make every future anchor job take 2 minutes instead of 20.
Actionable takeaway number 1. Build the anchor go box. 24 compartment organizer. Stock it with the 3 plug sizes, matching screws, matching drill bits, and a roll of tape for depth marking. This single purchase eliminates the what do I need paralysis for every future job. You open the box, you see the compartments, you grab what matches.
Takeaway 2. Learn the 2-second wall test. Knock on the wall with your knuckle. Hollow means drywall. Use toggle or molly. Solid thud means concrete. Use nylon plug. Mid-range thunk means you might have lightweight blocks. Proceed with caution and use hollow block anchors. Write this on the inside of your go box lid with a permanent marker so you never have to remember it.
Takeaway 3. Memorize the 3-number rule for concrete anchors. Plug diameter equals drill bit diameter. Screw diameter equals the plug's expanded inner diameter. 4.5 millimeters for 6-millimeter plugs, 5 for 8, 6 for 10. Screw length equals plug length plus 15 millimeters plus the thickness of whatever you're mounting. That's it. 3 numbers, 1 rule.
Takeaway 4. For tile walls, buy a separate spear-tipped carbide tile bit in 6 and 8 millimeters. Never use a masonry bit on tile. Drill through the tile first with no hammer action, then switch to the masonry bit for the concrete behind. The tile bit costs about 30 shekels and saves you from cracking a tile that you can't replace because that exact pattern was discontinued in 2014.
The pre-made anchor kits at the hardware store are a trap. They cost about 50 shekels and include 10 different anchor types you'll never use, undersized screws, and no matching drill bits. They look like a bargain, but they're actually a future frustration packaged in blister plastic. The curated box costs more upfront, but eliminates the failure pattern entirely.
The failure pattern isn't just the anchor pulling out. It's the cascade, the anchor fails, the shelf comes down, the wall is damaged, you need to patch and paint, you need to find matching paint, the paint has faded so the patch is visible, and now you're staring at a reminder of your mistake every time you walk into the room. The Go Box prevents the cascade.
That's the system. But there's one wall in every apartment that breaks the rules, and I want to hear about yours.
What's the wall you're afraid to drill into? The one with the mystery pipe, the weird hollow sound, or the tile that's been there since 1985. Every apartment has one. That wall is the next frontier.
The goal here isn't to become an anchor expert. It's to make the process so automatic that you stop thinking about it and start enjoying the actual project. The shelf, the TV, the curtain rod. The anchor is just the boring infrastructure that makes the fun thing possible. You shouldn't have to think about it more than you think about the screws holding your car's license plate on.
If you build your Go Box this weekend, take a photo and send it in. We want to see your system. And if you find a wall that breaks the system, lightweight blocks, double drywall, some weird Soviet-era construction technique that nobody's seen before, tell us about it. That's the kind of edge case that makes for a great follow-up.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1902, the lighthouse keeper of San Juan de Salvamento on Isla de los Estados, Tierra del Fuego, kept a pet Magellanic penguin named Almanac who would waddle up the spiral staircase every evening at precisely 8 o'clock and tap the glass of the lighthouse lantern with his beak, a ritual the keeper used as his backup time check against the official chronometer.
A penguin with a better sense of time than most project managers. This has been my weird prompts. If you build the Go Box, tag us. We want to see what you come up with. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We're back next week.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.